Welcome to another Welcome to another episode of the Married Men Don't Talk Talk Show, brought to you live by HouseholdStress.com. I'd like to welcome everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight. I know the weather's not that great where you're at, but we still going to get it in. Got a couple ground rules. No profanity. Not Bible study. And we're allowed to agree to disagree. That's how we do it here. Tonight's topic is, do you love me? And no, it's not a chick flick. No, it's not a question for the other brothers on the call. It is a question for marriage. It's a question for something that your wife may ask you or something that you may ask your wife. And I want to start something off with, I know that the divorce rate is extremely high. And do you guys think that it comes to a point where people no longer are in love with their spouse, but they're in love with the idea of marriage? If you need me to clarify, I can. The idea of marriage is the idea that was given to you when you were dating of what was going to happen, what it was going to be like. And then all of a sudden that stops. So now you have lost hope, or someone has probably lost hope. Or maybe they still have hope, but they're looking for the idea of what it was supposed to be other than what it actually is. That makes any sense?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, so that's the question. That's the question, because we always try to figure out, why did the marriage go bad? What happened? Did we exhaust all the options? Or did we stop fighting for what we're supposed to fight for, and now we're looking for what the promise? That makes any sense. You know, like when you were dating, there was this promise that you all made to each other. It may not have been anything that you wrote down or that you said, but it was the actions. You follow what I'm saying? It was like, okay, this is how loving marriage is going to be. And now that everything's changed because life happened, so do people still fall in love with their spouse, or is it the idea of what it was supposed to be?
Well, I mean, I think that even when you have couples that divorce, they could still be in love. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that there's still some love there, you know. And I guess it would always be, and I've never been divorced, so, you know, but I just think that on some level, whether you had children with her or not, you know, there'll always be some level of love for.
Okay. Okay.
You say, wait a minute, you always have a level of love for your ex-wife?
Yes. And again, I say that I've never been divorced. So I'm just assuming.
I don't understand. I've been divorced, and I don't understand.
So you have no love for your ex at all?
No.
No. No. No.
Really?
Huh? Rodney, you've never been divorced.
No.
But at one time, you know, when you said you loved her, you took her down the aisle, you said I do, at one time you did love her. So once y'all, you know, went through everything, so you're saying that basically that the love is cut off now that the paperwork is signed?
Ain't cut off, it ain't there.
Yes.
Really?
Not there. I mean, what?
That's interesting.
Sometimes when you go through a lot of hurt, you know, and it depends on the person. It depends on what that person take you through. You know, if they take you through the mud and try to you know, make you lose your job or try to turn your kids against you, it grows something within the person who is getting done wrong, and that just causes a stench in your nostrils to think that this person would have your kids to hate you now. So So if you was in that situation, then you might feel different than you do now, saying that, you know, hey, you know, I still got love for her. No, it is no love there.
Hmm. So, and the question is, why do they stay after that's established? Why do people still hang in there when there's no love?
I mean, you hang in. I mean, what are you talking about? Why do people stay in a marriage?
Yeah.
When there's no love.
Yeah, when it's all gone.
I mean, I don't see how you can stay in when it's all gone. But I know with me, when I was married to my ex-wife, you know, it was leaving, dwindling, and then what was left was pretty much just hope that maybe it would, you know what I'm saying, it would rekindle. But as seconds went by, I realized it's just not happening. You know, and the more and more I stopped loving her and start loving myself.
Mm.
Because when you're getting ready to go through a divorce, Rodney, you got to pick. I'm either going to love her or throw me under the bus. Because pretty much that's what you're doing in a divorce. I mean, my experience anyway. You know, I had this woman, you know, try to destroy my relationship with my family, my mother, you know, slandered my friends, you know, tried to destroy my relationship with my friends. And it's like, okay, how much of this am I going to take before I say, okay, do I love me to the point where I'm just going to let myself keep going through this?
Mm.
Or what? It's either her or me. Which one do I love more, her or me?
So it's like that.
Once you get to you, it's like, okay, well, now that I love me, now that that's established, why am I dealing with her?
The lawyer's job, they say, is I got to leave here, or the mediator's job. They walk out of there and say, I have to make sure both of y'all are equally unhappy. They make that statement when you first walk in there.
What? Say that again?
The mediator states when you first walk in there, when y'all trying to figure out who's going to get the kids, how much child support, who's going to get what on the property, the mediator says, my job is to make sure that both of you guys are equally unhappy.
Wow.
And her lawyer and your lawyer, you have to, you know, you're digging for the worst in the other person so the judge can see the worst in that person. That's what make, you know, if some of your deep, dark secrets come out in the court, you know, that's what makes, like, wow, I can't believe you told your lawyer to use that against me to win the kids or get more child support. Or I can't believe you told them about that. You know, it just, a lot of stuff comes out.
That's a bad scenario. I mean, I didn't go through the whole lawyer thing. I mean, but just going through the divorce period right now, I mean, the line in the statements that my soon-to-be ex-wife was making, I never would have thought she would say something like that to me about me. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like dealing with your wife now. Like, you know, your wife knows how to push your buttons. But yet, and still, your wife, you know, she'll only take it to a certain level. When you're reaching the point of a divorce, there's no holds barred, man. No holds barred.
So
you hear stuff to make your head want to spin.
So you're saying it goes both ways, that, you know, the love is lost for her, too, towards you?
No, because women lie.
Do they?
That's yeah, they do. Yeah, I keep telling you. She may, you know, like in my case, I don't know what the hell was wrong with my ex-wife, but she wanted the divorce, and she told me for a year, and I tried to hold on for a year, and she kept wilding out doing stuff. Like, she would do stuff, and I think I've told y'all this. She'd walk in the house, I'd have fixed dinner, cleaned up the house, she'd take one look at me, roll eyes, go out, and come back at 3 in the morning. Okay. So it's after so much of this. See, Rodney, you got to understand, when you get ready to go through a divorce, it's not like it is now. You know, it's on another level. So it's only so much of that I'm going to take before I say, you know what, I deserve better. Until finally I said, okay, well, you want a divorce, let's get a divorce. And the first thing out of her mouth is, well, let's talk. Let's talk about this. And it's like, no, my mind is made up now. You take me through a year of hell and then say, okay, now let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's when a woman scorned is terrible, because when they love you, but I believe they do the things they do when you're about to get a divorce, because they don't want. It seems that if they don't want any other woman to enjoy your happiness that you're able to give, or your happiness that you can provide for her, she just want to make sure that your rest of your life is not like it was when it was with her.
This is so true. She'll make you doubt yourself, whatever. I mean, you name it. Whatever she can do to get your mind thinking like it's something wrong with you or you can't be happy with anybody else, she'll use that.
But is she wrong for that?
I think she's wrong. Why? Because it's to the point now when, okay, convince the man to get a divorce. Keep wilding out. Man finally makes up his mind. And so now she tries to slander the man or damage the man to the point to where he's never able to really trust a woman or love again. That's wrong. That's slow down.
How's it wrong? But I don't understand how that's wrong.
That's devious. I mean, the marriage is already over, so now to try to keep this dude from trying to be happy with anybody else, you're trying to get him to think that there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, but asking a woman to marry her and then letting the marriage fail, how wrong is that?
Letting the marriage fail?
Is it you blaming the man?
You know, you guys know what we all believe on this call, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So if we all believe that on this call, then if we let the marriage fail, why shouldn't she be bitter?
Well, you're not letting the marriage fail. No, you know, I didn't marriage fail.
Okay. We didn't let it stay together.
We didn't let it fail. I was with somebody that made me choose. It was either her or me.
Sure.
I chose me after a year of abuse now. I hung in there for a year because of what I believe in.
Sure.
And everybody's different.
So a year was your threshold?
It was just a year that I could just take. I mean, the things that she was doing. I mean, it wasn't like she was sleeping with a dude, like, in the house and I walk in the house or anything crazy like that. I mean, instantly that's over. But a woman knows the limit to push it to. You know what I'm saying? So she knows just how far to take it before that ego kicks in and you just snap and just say, the hell with you. I don't give a damn what I was taught. It's over. You know what I'm saying? So they know.
And you know how she knows? Because at one point, there was some love there. And as they say, as the old adage goes, there's a thin line between love and hate. But that's how she knows, because at some point, y'all were happy and skipping in the park and, you know, having a good old time. But then, it changed.
Mm. The promise was broken on both sides. Because that's all it is. It's a promise. I'm going to make you happy. I'm gonna stay. Well, you know, we all say it. Keep you happy. You know, Babyface is the one that got us set up. I buy. What did he say? I iron your clothes. I buy your clothes. What was that song? Y'all know the song. I can't remember.
Pay your rent. Do the whole nine.
I pay your rent. I do the whole 9 yards.
Soon as I get home from work.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, we all felt hook, line, and sticker. But I understand why, to a certain. Okay, let's paint this picture. Great husband, did everything you were supposed to do. You were there for your wife, the whole baby face song. You took care of the kids, and she just ran over you, right? And you passed up different women that you could have been with, yada, 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 all that stuff, right? And then, she, like I said, she just ran over you. And then all of a sudden, she wants out. You done bought the house, everything. She's like, nah, I won't be with you no more. I'm out.
Yeah.
And now you go, it's time to go to the divorce court. It's time to start. It's time to start separating the property, yada, yada. You know, are we always going to be a nice guy during that process?
No. Not at all.
Not at all. We may even want to get even. She may say, well, nah. You know what I mean? I'm taking this bed because you already know she's dating somebody else. Well, I'm taking this bed, this California king. And you already know that boy going to be up in that California king. So you be like, well, no, she can't have the bed.
Yeah, so you burn it. Or you say you can have it.
So
like, well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, that may be, you know, mischievous. That may be considered petty, but it's the way we feel. We got dogged out.
Right.
So is it really about getting even? I mean, is that what it's about? You know, is it about revenge?
Who gets revenge? Who you know that actually gets revenge and they live happily ever after?
Nobody.
Because everybody I've seen that try to get revenge, they fail miserably.
Yeah, lose all the way around the board.
I don't know anybody that walks away from that revenge tactic and it works out.
Yeah. Normally, the guys are trying to keep their shirt and the women are trying to get the socks and underwear and everything else, too. Normally. Is that a true or false thing?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, with me, I was just trying to get out of there and play as fair as possible. You know, here's what I can give you. Hopefully, you know, you'll be comfortable, but I got to go.
And she wanted your dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, after a while, you know, her, I mean, everything changes once you get an attorney. Once you get a good attorney, things change. Because the attorney will make sense of the request. And some of it is just outlandish, you know. And the attorney will say, no, that's not working. You know, so it's always best to have that just to protect your interests. But when you go into it without an attorney, and then, you know, they're going to try to get everything they could. And the courts may go with them.
So who gets divorced without an attorney? Do people still do that? Do people do that?
I did.
Of course.
I did.
Divorced.
Really? How does that work? Is it better or worse? I mean, it's cheaper,
better
right?
For me. It was better for me. We saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
We saved a lot of money, and we saved a lot of dirt getting thrown in court in front and everybody in our business. Because I basically told my ex-wife, I was like, you know, we're going to get this divorce. But we're not going to court. And she wanted to go to court. She wanted to get an attorney. So I found an attorney here in Maryland and had them call her. Said, you look up my attorney's credentials and his win-loss ratio. And I said, that's who I'm getting. And I will take every dime I got, I don't care if I eat, to pay him to make sure I get every dime you will ever earn for the rest of your life.
Mm.
I said, now, if you want to blow your money and you want to get you a good attorney and we have at it, that's fine. Or we just go on to walk away and be done with it. And that's what we agreed to do.
Yeah. And again, that was smart on her behalf. I mean, because technically, whoever spends the most on the attorney wins. You come in there with some court-appointed, I don't even know if they have court-appointed divorce attorneys. I don't even know if they have that. But
and
I'm
at that
sure
time, I was making twice as much as she was. So she didn't want to
do that. It's a wrap. The attorney I had was so good. Was so good. She was like, do you want her to leave the house tonight? I was like, no. I can't go out like that. Female attorney, I mean, first name basis with the judge, the whole nine yards. You know, it was like, nah. You know. But there's nothing good about it, the whole breakup thing. There's nothing good about the whole divorce thing. And even if they try to get, or you try to get petty, it doesn't matter. It's still you both lose. That's the way I see it.
But in the throes of your situations, did your ex ever utter the phrase, "Do you love me?"
Mine said it in an email. When she asked me, when she realized I was serious about going on with this divorce, she was like, "I thought you was, you know, the type of man that loved me unconditionally. I thought you was a Holy Ghost-filled man and, you know, love his woman the way Christ loved the church." Now, keep in mind, this psycho was putting me through hell for a whole year. As she finally realized that I wanted a divorce and nothing was changing that, now she felt betrayed. And so her, in her mind, she's like, "Oh my God, he really wants a divorce." And her, she played the desperate call, you know, "I thought you loved me," and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, "Yeah, I did, but now I love myself." Mm-hmm. And because I have love for myself, I can't allow myself to be dealing with you and your shenanigans.
But isn't that like a tactic? Do you think that that was a tactic to get you to lighten up on what you was asking for or what you was what you was demanding from her? Do you, I mean?
I think that was a tactic to try to get me to reconsider.
Right.
Once she realized, once she finally realized that I was serious, that's what I think it was. But
did she ever get you to try to reconsider when it was in her favor already, or did she try to get you to reconsider when she thought that she wasn't going to win?
Oh no, it wasn't no win or lose with us. We got divorced without lawyers.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't no win or lose, and we had no kids, so it was just a straight divorce. She realized that she really wanted to stay married once I finally gave in to give her the divorce that she had been begging me for a year.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that the divorce was a pump fake?
I don't know, and I didn't care.
That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like it was a pump fake. Like, if you don't do right, as a matter of fact, let's just get divorced all the way to the last minute. And by that time, the wheels are already rolling.
Maybe if you would have asked me that when we were still married and, like, a couple of months into this whole "I want a divorce" crap she was talking, yeah, I would have said that. But once I finally got to the point where I said, okay, you know what? Yep, let's go on and get a divorce. I'm tired.
And then she threw the "Do You Love Me" card wrapped,
oh, yeah,
and shrouded in the Holy Ghost and Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it.
Lord, I was king sinner. Yeah.
But Rodney, I don't really think that you know how profound that question is that you ask.
Yeah,
especially when you flip it to modern-day marriage, like our present
mm-hmm.
marriage. And you got to ask yourself, how many times in a modern day marriage would a spouse ask another spouse, "Do you love me?" Because it's all assumption, right?
Yes.
So how important is that question in a marriage? Do you love me?
It can be looked at as both ways, and if my wife was to ask me that, I could either be like, "Yeah, I love you," you know, or I can take offense to it and say, you know, "Well, what do you mean? You know, look around you. look what I do for you, or look what look what we have accomplished. Look how we go out every day. Look how we make love. Look," I mean, you go down the list, and it's like you can't tell at the end of that list. You ask the question, how can you ask me that question? So if you ask a woman that, you know, or your wife that, she's going to want to know what's up. Why are you asking?
But Darren, all those things that you named, right, equally benefit you.
Not really. If you're the one working.
Yeah.
Not.
I mean, the house, going out, you know, all the nice things, the cars, all that stuff benefits you just as much as it benefits her.
Yeah,
but she could be like, "Yeah, I got it, but do you love me?"
But then it makes you ask or wonder, why are you asking me that? Am I showing you, am I not showing you love? Or what's going on in your head to make you ask me that, to make you wonder or have a thought on whether or not I love you or not? You have to ask that question. You have to follow that question with the "I do you love me" question.
I got you. But listening to you broke it down, and she asked you, the answer that you would give her was look around you.
No,
look around.
Not me, but I'm just saying most fellows, they would assume that that question would never be a question if one was to say, you know, why would you ask me that? And I do everything for you. I give you everything you want. And then you have the audacity to I say I love you every day, or I cook for you, I clean for you, I do this, I do that, I buy you everything you want. What do you mean by if I love you or not? What do you mean? That would be a aggravating question to one that's doing all of that.
I see that. Anybody else?
But I think that's, I mean, when your wife says that to you, to me that's troubling.
Yeah.
To ask the question, do you love me? I mean, that, to me, that sounds like sign of trouble. Now, I'm not saying that it's a sign for divorce, but that's time to sound the alarm. When your wife is questioning, with a question like, do you love me? I mean, really? And you're like, huh, what? Like your brother said, I mean, of course I do. But perception is reality, and if she were to ask that question, that means that she's not receiving.
Feeling love.
Exactly. She's not feeling it. For her to even ask that question, because otherwise, like, that's a real dangerous question to ask somebody, to ask your spouse, do you love me? It's like, huh? I mean, to me, I mean, you're almost at a point where you got to be like, you know, whatever you just stop whatever you're doing and be like, we need to have a sit down and a chat, because
right.
Especially if you're not feeling the same way. If your response is not, well, do you love me? You know, and then y'all go back and forth. If you like you said, like,
that's
what are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely.
Can I ask you something I learned? I'm sorry to not introduce myself. This classy in Atlanta.
What up, brother? You're always welcome. Go ahead, man. You ain't got to introduce yourself. Go ahead.
This is something I learned from my own personal. Now, I was not married, but I was engaged for 5 years. So it felt like a marriage. And what I came out of it learning was that if for me, not anybody else, if for me I had been a better teacher from the get-go, then I would have had less of a possibility to be frustrated by some of the stuff that was said and done. And I really see that now in a lot of marriages that are successful and a lot of marriages that are not. One person, whether male or female, is always the patient listening teacher in the successful marriage. And in the ones that are not, it's a constant, well, I have rights too, thought process. And they always are on the merry-go-round. Last point is this. I saw my friend cheat one time. And this is the whole crust of the little book I'm writing. But I saw my friend cheating one time. And I said to him, I said, first of all, you're not even cheating right, as if that's a good thing. But you're not even cheating right with respect to the investment that you have with these three children and this wife. All that stuff can shrivel. I said, so with that said, why don't you just say to your wife what you really want? Hey, lose 40 pounds, dress in these type of clothes, and yada, yada, yada. But you also got to provide her a way to do that. Well, like most of us, he, you know, was a little hard-headed. It took him 8 months to finally get what I was saying, when the woman he thought he had an understanding with was going to blow up his spot. And he said, I need to reinvest in my wife. And he followed just what I said. Hey, take your wife just on a visual shopping, find out what her style is, and make a game out of it. And the moral of the story is simply this. He found leadership in saying what he really wanted, even though society and other women tell us that we shouldn't be so honest, he was free for his honesty, and it made his marriage stronger.
Mm.
Mm. Okay.
But you said, Classy, you said the first thing you said was that you engaged for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during those 5 years, did your fiance ever voice, you know, to you that since the marriage did not happen over the course of those 5 years, did she ever voice or maybe her actions dictated or did she question, you know, since you didn't marry her, did she question, you know, was she like, do you love me? I mean, if you won't take me down the aisle.
All three. and it was through actions, suggestive words, suggestive actions. And I didn't pick up on it because I'm thinking like a regular 50-50 person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hold on, man, I'm doing my thing too, so I don't have time for the guessing games. When actually, you know, most females, and I'm not going to be long-winded on this one, most females just want direction. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing I can say about the street. The guy on the street understands. Most women just want direction. They want to have the ability to kick back and make mistakes and knowing that this guy is going to keep an umbrella over her head. But with that, he says, hey, when I ask you to move left, princess, I need for you to move left, okay? And not the, well, I can't say it that way. I need to understand. No, I'm a tiger and you're a female tiger. When I say we need to go this part of the jungle, that's what we need to do. And I'm going to walk this way. Whether you're behind me or not, it's on you. You know, and it just mm-hmm. got to be that way. And even Christians understand it. Islamics understand it. If you're a guy and you're not hitting your woman and cheating on your woman got half the relationship game beat. The rest is just
mm-hmm.
living.
Mm. Okay. I like that. Now, let's just say you're a husband and you describe it just like what he just said. You're not beating her. You're not cheating on her. You're being faithful. You're doing your part. And she comes home one night and says, do you love me? And I know some of us want to take offense to it, right? Because obviously you've done your part because you can say, well, I'm not cheating on you, so I love you. I'm not whooping you, so I love you. I'm paying these bills, so I love you. You ride in that nice car, so I love you. I get up and go to work every day, so I love you. Right? Those are the things that we're supposed to do anyway. But when they ask that question, is there an underlining thing that they're not receiving from us when we think that we're loving them the way that we're supposed to be loving?
I'm gonna give the quick answer and say yes, only because I have five older sisters. So it is a yes. It's just that females, they kind of give us guys all these opportunities to just, hey, baby, you know, do I Barry White? Hey, baby, what's wrong? What's wrong? Really? Seriously? I'm going to work on that. Oh, he's going to work on it. Hercules. You know, it's just... It's just that, you know, not every woman is the same. Some women, unfortunately, and I've seen it happen, some women, unfortunately, they're so confused in their own stuff because, and get this, they're listening to so many outside influences that they can't hear the word of God coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, but if they don't feel loved, they don't feel loved. I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
Well, sometimes
there's no confusion in that.
Well, sometimes they can say they don't feel love, and love really isn't it. It could be attention, it could be recognition, it could be, you know what I'm saying. They just tend to say love and sex, but it actually could just be acknowledgement.
No, no, no. I don't want to guess at it. And for you married guys, please step in. I don't want to guess at it. Your wife comes home and says, after you know you're doing everything that you feel as though you're supposed to do, she comes in and asks the question, do you love me? What does she mean?
I wouldn't worry about what she means.
I just say yes, I do, and keep it moving.
Yeah, I love you. What's the problem? I wouldn't worry about why she asking this question now or why can't she see that I love her. It shouldn't be a problem for me to break down that I love her and why I love her, if I really love her. Shouldn't
so
be
no
all.
Explanation needed. No explanation needed.
There's no word to say how less I would care that she's asking. I wouldn't care.
Yeah. It's more
because
like
I know how women
need to me.
I know how women are. Sometimes they just need that security, and sometimes they just want to be held. They just want you to listen, or they want an answer. Sometimes they just need to hear, yeah, I love you. They need to hear that. I don't know why, but they need to hear it. You know, they flip the switch, these lights come on, everything, but they still need to hear it.
Yeah.
What you mean you don't know? I mean, do you need to hear it or no?
Look, I need her talking to the mic.
That's it.
I need her talking to the mic, and she need me to tell her that I love her and why.
That's it.
We from two different planets, remember.
Wait a minute. So you don't need her. You don't need her to tell you that she loves you. You don't need her to articulate that she loves you. You only need her to show you. Is that what you're saying?
She's speaking into the mic, then that's an expression of love, and I'm good.
Realistically, Ike. You ain't got to get your wife
that is realistic.
To the mic.
That is
you can
get
anybody
right.
Speaking
talk to him, T-Hawk. Tell him again, T-Hawk.
But he
tell
don't
anybody
want anybody.
Speaking to the mic. It ain't got to be your wife. I know we ain't get married for that.
No,
but he don't want anybody to speak.
I don't want anybody else. That's who I want to speak into the mic. I'm good.
Wow.
Good. That's my love language.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking into the mic. I'm cool. Put me some dinner.
Is that love
and
language number six?
Buy me
and
a
she
best
knows this.
Part. She knows my love language. We cool.
And she's okay with that. That's all she's got to do to show you love.
I mean, those are my love languages. I mean, okay.
I gotta agree with the brother. If I got a great female rapper, it solves a lot of problems.
Yes, it does.
She can have a great female rapper.
Wow.
She can have the worst mixtape on the planet. But as long as she's sitting on the mic, I'm like, boy, look. What do you need, Dave? What do you need?
Let me ask this brother talking now. If you got MC Light at home talking on the mic,
that's it.
And she's talking on the mic on the regular, is it going to pop into your mind to ask your wife, does she really love me?
Not at all.
I'm serious. Will you have to ask her, do you really love me?
Not for me. I mean, you know what? Just like for me, I've grown into my confidence that even when I'm failing, I open myself to learn and try to get it fixed. So
exactly.
I don't need that little acknowledgement like that. You know, it's like, hey, babe, what can I do for you? You rapping on that mic, making that next mixtape? I'm good.
That's it.
Really, guys?
T-Hawk, I hate to blow you up.
Hearing this on the phone.
Get him.
I hate to blow you up.
I'm hearing this.
So.
It's not making a bit of sense. And we're going to agree to disagree. Let me flip it around this way. Let's just flip it around this way. Okay. Whenever you come home from work to this married woman and you sit down on your couch and she runs right up to you and open your pants and start talking to the mic. You go take a shower. You finish watching the game. You get ready to get a bed. She roll up and start talking into the mic. You on the grill, flipping some burgers. Once you come inside to put the burgers on the top of the stove, ain't nobody looking. She reach over and start talking into the mic. And then eventually you're getting what you want. But the question will never come up is this just physical, or do you really love me? Or does it even matter?
I mean, I don't think at that point it really matters.
You can, pay and get all the head in the world from anybody.
You're comparing head from a paid worker or servant to getting head.
Sally at the job can give you as much head as she can possibly handle.
No.
When you've been married, when you're married and your wife sees you and she's turned on by the mic and she want to talk into the mic, no, man, come on, man. That's
a different type of love.
I'm not buying it.
That's special.
I'm not buying it.
Let me explain it
this
way.
That's a macho answer.
It's not so much just sex. I think that everybody on the conversation has the one thing that's an appreciation trigger for them. And if you have a woman, like in my case, I don't know about the other brother, but if you have a woman that enjoys submitting to you in that regard, that's a great trigger mechanism for me. Now, somebody else, it might be cooking. Somebody else, it might be a clean house. I know one brother, it's the way his wife decorates his house. So everybody got their trigger, but I think the key is acknowledging that she enjoys giving you whatever it is makes you happy, and you in turn enjoy protecting that gift.
Right, and don't get me wrong. There are brothers, T. Hogg and Rodney, that, you know, I ain't trying to say that's y'all, but there are brothers that need to hear from their wife every now and then that they love them.
Yeah, but I'm saying you need to hear it too, and you're lying.
You're lying, man. Thank you. Thank you for telling me.
I'm giving you a love language now.
That ain't a
that
love
ain't
language, man. That ain't even in the book, man.
What ain't in the
Talking
book?
Talking to Mike ain't even in the book.
What?
Oh, it's in my book that I wrote.
It's in his book. Remember, this book come out next year, Women Lie.
Five love
for
languages.
Me?
It's not in the book.
He talking about the six love language.
I don't believe, Ike, that if you and your wife are in agreement on that, that...
Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that I'm saying to my wife, you know, all you do is talking to the mic and you don't have to say I love you?
Exactly.
No, come
no.
on.
No.
No, that's not happening. Who makes that agreement?
So, I asked the question, and you said all she got to do was talk into the mic, and that's how she proves.
Well, you asked me what she got to do, not what she does. It's two different things.
You switching up on me, Ike?
No, I'm not switching up on you. Yeah, you
said
what she got to do.
So I asked him, I was like, does she need to tell you that she loves you? I said, do you need to hear it? And then we have all of this about the greatest female rapper. That's what came after.
Right, because that's the great expression of love. I really give a damn with any of y'all. That's a great love.
So why get married? If that's all it is.
No, that's not all it is.
No,
I mean,
my wife,
she cooks, she cleans the house. I mean, what do you mean?
Actually,
I mean, my wife does a lot more than just that. I mean, I'm not one-dimensional. what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, that's what was mentioned.
Oh, no.
I
see where we're at. T-Hawk, yes.
We shouldn't just be worried about the mic on holidays and birthdays.
I got it. I'm going to give him what he wants. Yes, Seahawk, my wife must tell me that she loves me. Yes.
I already know the answer to the question. I already know the answer.
Right.
We already know.
Yes.
I want to hear it.
You too.
Make me less of a man because I want to hear it. I want to know it. I don't want you to think you're showing me. Don't just say
wait a minute.
You're
is
doing
a
good job
showing me if she's showing me.
You need to tell me too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, right or wrong.
Yes, you're right. She does need to tell me. Yes.
Yeah, again, yours may not need to tell you, but I'm just saying, for me, I want to hear it, too.
Me, too.
Because there's something sensual in those words coming out of your wife's mouth, I think. Because that's the mouth.
Well, there's something sensual going in, too, now.
I was waiting for that.
Tony, you ain't going to...
So you're fighting against yourself.
For me?
Yeah.
No. I don't agree with it.
Trying to minimize talking into the mic.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question then. If you say you need to hear those words, then what if she says the words but not show you them?
Thank you,
Do you
Darren.
Still need to hear the words, or do you need to be shown the words?
Thank you, Darren. Thank you. Darren,
you need both. You need both. You need both.
Well, how come
which one?
You say you need both, but when I say it, you say she got to say it.
Yeah, I mean, you need both. And that's what I'm saying, is that you need both. I'm not saying
so you need her to put to the mic.
And you need it for her to tell you that.
No. My question answers first. Well, you put yours on there. You need her talking to the mic.
Yes.
Thank you.
There it is.
And you need her to tell you that, she loves
tonight.
You.
We got that.
But Darren's question is different. He said that, I guess, is which would you prefer? Would you prefer the actions or would you prefer the words? I think that was his question.
But Darren is directly in my driveway. Darren is on point.
So that's
the reason
question.
Why I asked that, because you say you need to hear her say she love you, but if she says she love you and cheating on you, then does she love you? Yeah, she could possibly love you, but is she showing that she love you? Is she just showing she loves someone else too, or love doing it with somebody else? You see what I'm saying? So I'd rather you show me and honor those vows and make sure all of it stays here at home, then you know that, and that's showing me. Now if you're telling me and you're doing something else, then you can say it all you want. It turns to nothing. It turns to dust when you're telling me and you're not showing.
So you said something interesting, though, you know, about cheating. And can you cheat, or can one cheat and still love their spouse? Yes or no?
I say no, but that's just me.
Why you say no?
Because of the way I was raised and my thoughts on cheating. I think you should get a divorce before you cheat.
So what if y'all are separated?
This is me. This is me talking.
I know. That's just you. But I'm just saying, so what if you took the California King, you know, moved out, and the divorce is not final yet?
It's free for all. I was in that situation. I'm getting it all. I'm going to get as much as I can. She ain't in the house with me no more. I don't give a damn about that whole paperwork crap. If I ain't banging her, and we separated on the path to divorce, and she ain't living with me, she in another state like mine was, and yeah, it's a free-for-all. I'm good.
One thing, my
go ahead.
No, I was saying one thing my ex honored when we first got married. Before we got married, I said, you know, the only thing I ask of you is if you are to ever cheat on me, just let me go, or tell me you don't love me, because all those things comes when you don't love somebody. Says just I will honor you forever if you just tell me you don't love me, and just let's dissolve the marriage before you go out there and cheat. Well, 10 years later, she said those exact words, and I really appreciated her for just letting me know, hey, I don't love you anymore. So that let me know that, oh, wow, okay, well, let's go to the next step, because now it's no reason for anger. You know, you didn't dishonor me. You didn't disrespect me, you know, because she knew that I felt that was very, very disrespectful. And I just asked her to respect me in that manner, to just let me know, before you cheat on me, just let me go. And she honored it. She honored it and told me. And I was like, oh, I really respect you for that. And I wasn't, you know, I was upset, but it's nothing I can do when you did what I asked you to do.
I mean, that is a good thing, though, right? I mean, so it did not further any further negativity for you because, you know, secrets and all that other stuff could have caused additional negativity. So in essence, is that not a good thing?
No, it didn't turn bad. It was good at that time, but it didn't turn bad until you start, you know, you try to get my kids to turn against me and, like I said, your family to turn against you and saying things in court that, you know, you really didn't expect her to say to try to make you look like the bad guy. I mean, I was cool with all of that until that started happening, all those other things started happening.
You know, it's so crazy. Here's something my older sister told me a long time ago, which has remained true to my 40s. Even my own sister, my sister told me, even the other sister, do not trust the female mind. This is my older sister telling me this when I was like 6. Because some little girl wanted me to date her, and I didn't want to date her, so she decided to fight me, and then all my sisters came out. And she sat me down and told me. She said, you got to watch out for that. And even though I love women, I love my mom, you know, I got to put me first and my concerns first because some people of a female mindset, even some men, I've noticed will do these emotional things even if it's a decision they made. They'll do some emotional things to sabotage your stuff. And I'm just not surprised anymore. I appreciate when it don't happen, but I'm just not surprised anymore.
The things that happen in the marriage to us as men that can give a false signal. And I think that the validation piece is so very important to us that when it doesn't happen, in the back of our mind we might say, do you love me? We need to be validated. You know, and maybe I should just speak for me. Maybe I should just be for me because it just doesn't seem like we're all agreeing tonight anyway. So let me just speak for me. I want to be validated. I don't want it to just say, well, I don't want to just assume that I'm doing a good job. I don't want to assume that I'm the perfect husband, that I'm a great husband. I need to know it so I can keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Sometimes we like to be praised as men. And that makes
just want to hear the word. We want it.
Did you say sometimes? Don't you mean all the time? I mean,
you don't want to say all the time. Let's just say most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah, definitely.
But you say to me all the time, something wrong with you.
Maybe I've been single too long, but you know, I've gotten to the point where I don't. Well, I guess that's why the talking into the mic was such a validation for me because I've grown to understand that acknowledgement as a male has to come from a woman in a different way. I would love to have verbal acknowledgement. Matter of fact, that's some of the conversation I used to have with the ex-fiance. It wouldn't come in that regard. And no matter how much I tried to communicate that, it was futile. So hearing you say that reminds me of back then. It was like, golly, all the stuff that I do, are you serious? But hers was the house being immaculate, the sex game off the chain, our love for sports. It's weird because all I really needed was the verbal acknowledgement, like you said, but I gave up on it. Because if it comes, it comes. I just realize now for me, most ladies just don't convey it that way. It's too much of a you win for them.
Hey, yeah. Man. Hello?
Hello.
I had a comment that I heard early on. Sorry, I was on a freelance. Sorry about that. But,
that's cool.
You know, you guys are saying why dudes ain't getting married. Well, I'll tell you why. I'm 47, and a lot of dudes my age think about getting married, but they got to think about this woman has kids. That I might have to send that kid to school, college. You got to deal with a couple baby daddies or a baby daddy, ex-husband. You may have property, you know, a house comes into play. Your pension, you know, stuff like that. I mean, these are things dudes actually think about. You know, isn't always fairy tale. A lot of guys I know actually want to get married, but they're afraid of divorce. They don't want to lose all their stuff. So that factors in, I say, a lot, and why a lot of dudes are just on the sidelines. They're just not marrying these women nowadays because of that. Oh, and one more thing, too. You said something about thugs leading these women. I mean, I don't agree with that, man. I think these thugs, they don't have a clue what they're doing. I mean, I deal with these thugs all the time trying to get them jobs, man. A lot of them can't even, they can barely write their names, man. You know, can't fill out a job application. I don't know how they lead women. It's beyond me, man, you know.
Well, most thugs, and I know this is a side item, but most thugs meet women because most women like to control dudes. They like to control penises. So
that's right.
You got a dude that's very talented at putting it down, but you can tell him when, where, and what to get off on, and he does it, you are more likely to roll with that guy. Look at Vivica Fox, an older woman who basically she dated two younger dudes, caked them,
yeah,
bought them everything, and they still left her. So, you
Neil
know, that's,
too.
Yeah, that's what the thugs are all about, or anybody with a young man mindset. Women want to control penises.
But the deal is, here's the big difference. I'm not trying to make it a race thing, but sisters want to control their men. White women want influence over you, which is a big difference. I've dated both. White women just want to influence your ass, you know, but sisters want to control you. And that's what actually the big difference between the two, you know.
I will partially agree with that. I mean, I'm not,
you
know,
that's true, man.
I'm going to stick with
it's
the
true.
Topic, but yeah, I am going to partially agree. I deal with all different types of races, from Indian to Asian. I will clean it up by saying this.
Yeah.
Other races who are not urban, so that means that anybody of an urban mindset, other cultures that are not urban, they have a family-first mindset. So they're looking for an investment long-term that they can get some residuals out of it. People of an urban mindset, because they're so attached to the Atlanta Housewives mentality, they're looking for the control of it. The same thing with the dudes. If you're a dude making a lot of money, anybody you date is more than just a vagina. They're an investment because you don't need them messing up your situation. So a person who doesn't have that mindset is thinking, if I bust a nut on this 35th female, it's victory. So in that essence, I do agree.
I wonder why they don't give out the male birth control pill, man. I always wonder why they don't let that come to America. Because I think dudes would use it, too, if it came here.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Money. Money.
No doubt.
They can't get paid if you're not knocking up.
That's true.
Hello, the money.
That is true.
It's the same. You know what? This game's been going on for 50,000 years, man. Men, we like the pussy. Women like money. It's the same game.
Ooh, you gotta keep it clean, bro.
I'm sorry.
No profanity, man.
I'm sorry. It's the same game that's been going on for 5,000 years. I mean, the game's been going on. That's just what it is. What it is. I don't know why men can't embrace what it is. Women like power and money, and men like to pee. And that's just, it's just always been that exchange. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. I don't know why brothers trying to dissect it, analyze it. It just doesn't work that way.
But you know what? Just like the topic tonight, I think that respectful to the married gentleman, if we would just go back to embracing that understanding, less problems would come about. Because even the Bible will tell you it's a helpmate situation. You as a mate, you have a journey or a road within Christ or within Islam or whatever you want to practice, but let's just stick with Christ. You have a road that you're traveling. And you're not supposed to stop just because your helpmeet stands on the side of the road and pulls some flowers. And that's where I think the difficulty for us comes in, especially why I love listening to y'all, because I learn a lot. I love women, but I just hope that I'm not going to be in a marriage where I have to constantly say, come on, girl. Come on, girl. I'm going to walk this road.
You know what? My dad told me something years ago when I was about 8 years old. And my dad was kind of he was kind of controlling my mother. That's the way he was. And he told me something, man. He says, look, either you control your woman or she's going to control you.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that when I was about 8. And that stuck with me, and it's true. Either you got to keep your balls or you're going to lose them. And it's up to men to keep them. You got to hold on to them. Well, because women are going to try to take them from you. You know, they're going to try all kind of ways to take your balls. You got to hold on to them. You got to control these women. You got to run them. It's like the military. These women, it's like enlisting in the Marine Corps. You got to conform to the Marine Corps or the Army. They don't conform to you, and you have to get a woman to conform to your program, what you want to do. Do not get on her program. She has to conform to your program, your ideas, or she's got to walk the plank. And a lot of brothers are not exercising masculinity with these females. That's why these women have all these problems and aren't respecting men, because men aren't being men out here. They're not taking charge of these women, and because women want direction, because they don't know what the hell they're doing out here. They're confused, and you have to. I don't mean you have to beat them up and be like Turner, but you have to have a firm hand with them, man. You know, because we guide each other. Men guide women. Women guide us. And I think men aren't being men. They aren't exercising masculine energy over these women. That's what women want.
Good words.
That's what I think, you know.
Good words.
So nobody, I just got a question. You know, so treating your wife as Christ treated the church, what does all this fall in when you ask about the question of control? Because there's no control, I don't think, in that boundary of a relationship, you know. So when it says treat your wife as Christ treat the church, or is control anywhere in there, or that's the whole relationship?
Now, would you think it would be control or alignment? Because if you say alignment, then that could mean that you're aligning your direction, your wife's direction, or based off what you said, and not really controlling her. You know what I'm saying?
It's still control, P-Town. It's still control. We ain't got to run from the word, because they control us.
All right. I was trying to put it in different
ways. No, you're right, P-Town. They got something that controls us. And if we say it, don't. They have something that controls us, because it's something that we want. And the gentleman just said it earlier. It's about control. Yes, we can fight it, and we can do certain things. But at the end of the day, if we still want this thing, then she can say, okay, well, this is what has to happen for you to get this thing. That's control. So how do we get our own control?
Okay. Here's an answer with a counter question. So we will agree that the church is not just a building, okay? So when Christ turned over the tables, and I'm going to leave it at that. I think my point is that respectfully, I don't think it's so much of a control. I think wholeheartedly, you know, so sad is I didn't really understand Christianity in depth until I read Bushido, samurai religion, which all these religions, for the most part, speak the same. But samurai religion really got me to understand Christianity to its depth, which means that you sharpen your sword every morning for battle. Your spirituality is your sword. And under no circumstance does anybody hold your sword for anything. You do not deviate from how you sharpen your sword, because when you get cut, you're getting cut by your own sword. And if you allow somebody to take your sword and you're cut or betrayed, you led the action to your own demise. So with that said, I don't think so much is control, because just like the brother pointed out, women do it to us, but I always ask women and men, to what end are you doing what you're doing? How much money do you have to make before you and the wife realize that you guys are 50 G's over and actually you need to spend more family time together? So to what end is all this stuff? That's my only question about the control thing.
That's good words.
That's good words. Anybody on that?
Yeah, I just recall, you know, we did a show many moons ago called Control versus Obedience, because it's a fine line, and you know, I think it's complex. You know, I don't want to belabor the point, you know, right here, but it is a very complex concept. And to Darren's point, you know, when you're in a marriage, it is a level of servanthood and, you know, those sort of things. And it is a level of obedience. But, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. I just think it's a fine line, you know, between those two things. And, you know, as the brother said, you know, you got to keep your balls. Don't let her take your balls.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of that, you know, in there too, you know, but, you know, I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, you got to keep those. And he was 100% correct. A lot of times you run into guys that will say, I got to check with the better half. I got to check with the boss. And they throw these terms around, these names around loosely, as if we're not paying attention, that you P-whipped. So anytime you make that comment, something ain't right. You know what I mean? Now, the better half, that's not as bad as calling her the boss. I know you all heard that. Or you might say to your boy, hey, you know, let's go and, you know what I mean? Well, yeah, I got to check with the boss first.
There's dudes that's P-whipping, they don't even know it, and they don't even use them terms.
And they think they're just getting along. They think they're just keeping the peace.
Right, they're just not arguing.
Exactly.
They're just not arguing.
They even knowing they P-whipped.
That makes a lot of sense. They're just not arguing. It's just at the point where they just, I mean, we said this on the call a couple of times, that they give up. It goes back to the cheaper the keeper. If I just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because I told y'all on Facebook, you know, I wanted to hang out with one of my partners, and, you know, he said, hey, man, let's go to the strip club. So I told my wife, I was like, all right, I'm going to strip club. She was like, all right, cool, no problem. So the strip club or whatever, you know, there was no issue. But I was telling another friend of mine that I went to the strip club. He was like, well, I know you didn't tell your wife. And I'm like, yeah, I did.
Wow.
And then he was like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, well, yeah, I did. I said, all I did was go to the strip club. I mean, it's not the first time I've gone to the strip club while I've been married to my wife. Well, I don't believe you told her. But then in the same breath, he follows it up with, well, you know, I lied to my wife, but, you know, I was in the strip club, too. I went to that same strip club. It's pretty nice. And I'm like, well, what the hell? I mean, you P-whipped.
Yeah.
The equivalent of you telling your wife that you went to the strip club is almost like cheating. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you just destroyed your marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm
here's
like,
what I,
go,
here,
ahead, go ahead.
Here's
so,
what
yep.
I
oh, go ahead, sir.
I used to counsel at a megachurch back in 2005. This is what I learned that benefited my life, and one of the reasons why I talk the way I do, because I didn't talk this way before I started helping brothers at the church and going to get my certification. I realized that a lot of guys, unfortunately, they're living these type of lives that they're really not happy with. Now, I know that's a lot of people.
No, you're dead on, man.
But it's a concern for me, because I grew up in California around guys
who were so thorough in their street relationships that they would tell a woman, hey, I got a wife, a mistress, and two kids. I mean, these cats was talking like Two Shorts. You can write down your number if you want to. We can kick it or not. It's all good. So when I start interacting with people who didn't live by those type of rules, I'm like, why are you lying? Why are you lying to yourself? Why are you in a situation where you got to understand I met her with three kids? Okay, that's your investment, brother. So why are you trying to cheat now? I mean, didn't you realize that when you did what you did? So I guess my point in interjecting is that I just wish men would get back to the point, not in an abusive way, but get back to the point where they celebrate their manhood and say, hey, look, sweetheart, I'm going to go do X, Y, Z. It ain't no, you know, and I'll be back, and I ain't going to do nothing that misrepresents you. So, you know, we're going to do X, Y, Z. Because your girl does it, she just don't tell you half the time.
Right, and you shouldn't even have to say, I'm not going to do anything, you know, I know I don't, to misrepresent you, because my wife already knows. She trusts me.
Well,
she's confident. She knows that I know how to behave myself.
But you just said the magic word. She trusts you.
Right.
That's true.
So
but not everybody has that trust because of...
That's not evident in all marriages.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it comes back to, you know, not telling the whole truth to your wife all the time, you know? And now, you know, she don't trust you because she knows
that.
And to talk about the man that what about the man that's married, and you know not but I'm just using strip club as an example. Let's just say that he hears his wife says, you know what, I think it's wrong, I think it's the worst thing you could ever do, blah blah blase blase. But then deep down, that man would like to go to a strip club, or he used to go before he met her, and now he knows he can never go as long as he's married to her. But he's too scared to say, now I'm just using strip club as an example, it could be anything, but he's too scared to say, you know what, I would like to go to a strip club. He's too scared to say that.
Because of the way she'll receive it.
Exactly.
She may not receive it well.
Well, let me ask you this.
He hasn't got that same trust that you have. See, that's not I think in a marriage with all the things that a woman has been through previously before you, with the cheating and the I mean, you gotta think, all the guys before you didn't make it for a reason.
Yeah, but Tom, after a while that goes away. If you 5 years into marriage, 6 years, 7 years, 15 years, you can't bring that back up.
But that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is within a marriage, dealing with the stuff that she's already been through that didn't work, we can't just walk in the door and say, okay, I need you to trust me. It's got to be built up. You follow what I'm saying? So even if she's kind of trusts you, and then you're like, hey, I'm getting ready to go look at these naked women with my boys, but don't worry about it. I'll be back. And I won't do anything to devalue the marriage. She's still got to be okay with you as the person doing it. So I'm saying, if she ain't 100% trusting you because of whatever, she may have some issues with that request. Go ahead.
Yeah, but let me ask a question on, and I know you're saying this hypothetically, but just for the hypothetical man that this is happening to, shouldn't he also look at the fact that maybe she wants to be that stripper for him, and maybe he should look at the fact that he needs to institute some of those things, and in doing so, maybe the trust will be relayed? Because for me, in my personal experience, I had the same thing happen. But once I had these type of interludes with her that were, hey, wear this diamond choker or CV choker, wear this, your name is Lucretia for the night. Once we start having these types of interactions, me going to do XYZ was an afterthought, because it's like, oh, this cat is always seeing me in the kitchen and grabbing and touching. I mean, maybe that's it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's earned. It's earned.
Okay,
yeah,
I ask a question.
And just for clarification, I mean, the strip club was just a metaphor. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, you could own a lot of guns and shoot guns before you get married, and then you get married, and she says she has a strong feeling about guns, a traumatic experience, you got to get rid of all of them. And you do it, but knowing deep down, one day you would like to own a gun again.
And the female rapper was a metaphor, I have a thing for yo-yo back in the day. So the female rapper.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it could be motorcycle. It could be sports car. You know what I mean? I got a friend that's got girls. His wife said the sports car got to go. The motorcycle got to go. You know, the day he went to sell his motorcycle, he crashed it. Ended up in the hospital for a little while. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, was she wrong? Nope. She was 100% correct. And he knew it. But, again, the responsibility level changed for him. Now it's just not him. Now other people are depending on him. So the gun could be the same thing. Yeah, I don't want you playing with guns because if something happened, to you, what's going to happen to us? So I'm saying I don't really know if the strip club falls in those categories. That's something different, I think.
T-Hope. My goodness.
Yeah.
I think you said something there. I don't know if you realize what you said. And what's the topic tonight? What is the topic tonight?
Do you love me?
How many married men, T-Hope, that you personally know that could be on here with us at least one Tuesday a month? Just give me a number. How many men, married men, or single men, don't matter, how many men that you know could rock with us? Schedules do permit for them to be on here at least one Tuesday a month.
About 50.
50, I think that's a good number. I could bring 52, so that's 100. So now let's assume, now again, we know how assumptions are, but let's just assume, for the sake of argument tonight, that those T-Hawks 50, my 50, those 100 men are not doing anything on a monthly basis to improve their marriages. And I'm not saying, fellas, listen, I'm not saying that these 100 men, their marriage is on the rocks or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they're not doing anything for marriage, you know, improvement or whatever. So since they're not doing anything to improve their marriage, for the sake of argument, do y'all think that their wives ever say to themselves, do you love me? Because doesn't their lackadaisical attitude towards marriage maintenance kind of mean that they don't?
That's a great point right there.
I don't think they know any. I don't think they know any better, tell you the truth. I don't think they know any better.
Nah, I think I don't know.
No, they don't. You're giving them too much credit. I don't think they know any better.
Well, let's flip it around this way. I play golf, right? And some of these married men I know play golf. And they don't just show up at the golf course to play and gamble. They don't make sense. So before they show up to the golf course to play and gamble and bet real money, they go and practice.
Uh-oh.
They go hit balls. And they don't only hit their driver, but they hit the iron. Then they go to the putting green, and they putt, and they chip, and they putt. Then they go to Dick's and buy the newest, best golf ball, golf shaft, golf club. Then they get the clothes to match. Then they put in all this maintenance, right? So when they show up for the game, they're prepared. So when you say they don't know, it's giving them an out. They know. If they bowl, they don't just show up on league night to bowl. They're going to take a couple days during the week to find out where those curves are, where those breaks are in the lane. And they're going to get that ball fitted perfect. So when it comes off their hand, it does exactly what they want to do. They're going to put that work in. fishing the same way. They're going to find out which bait works best with what kind of fish they're trying to catch. You see, there's all these hobbies that we have as men, even with PlayStation and Xbox. We ain't going to get on online and start playing people in Germany or young kids in Japan before we start practicing on our own boys. So we get good, and then we start doing these things. So in everyday life as men, we practice to get better at something. But you going to tell me that we don't know well enough to practice on being married?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I'm going to say no, we do not, and I'm not trying to be combative about it, but I'll explain why. Somebody's echo or volume is up high. We got a large echo. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. I had a white guy that I knew from the job, and since you brought up the Xbox analogy, he played Xbox like crazy, Halo. Played the little young kids in the community, the whole nine, right? And he had a nice little house and what have you. Now, his girl left him, all right, because she looked around and just didn't feel her life was supposed to be with this dude. Now, that's neither here nor there, but it sets it up for this. So he's playing Halo so much, I say to him, I mean, from the time he get home to, like, midnight, this cat is playing Halo. So I say to him, man, why don't you get online and play cats online because you're doing what you're doing. He says, you know, I tried to get on there. I couldn't get it. I said, let me fix it for you. Got him online. My man played one day, got tapped so well, he refused to go back online. But he was happy just continue playing in the neighborhood of being the king. So with that said, some of us, irregardless of race or what have you, the unfortunate thing is we're not trying to evolve. And that's the sad thing for us as men. When we look around at the young cat, the people we looked up to, the wannabe pimps and players and what have you, whether it was wrong or not, those cats was trying to give us game about XYZ. We try to give some leadership game to these young cats. But then you got other cats that don't want to learn nothing. They're happy with right now. And when right now betrays them, which is one of the reasons why I listen to y'all's show, so I can learn before I get married, when right now betrays them, guess who they blame? Everybody else except self.
Wow.
Nice.
And that's the real world outside of y'all marriages, the one I'm living in right now.
Sure.
You said a mouthful there, brother. I tend to agree with Ike. I don't think they do know. You know what?
They don't know a marriage need practice or work or
correct.
Whatever. The only thing we know, most men know, is just pay bills and you know lay it down in the bedroom as best they can, and they keep it moving.
Look, I told y'all I volunteer for Team Dads of Atlanta. And to further prove the point, these young dudes actually think, first-time fathers, that the court is fair, that the court is going to see he's working and she's not. And I understand those are young dudes, but they actually think it's fair. It's going to be fair. No, it's not, bruh. You need to make sure your game is solid. If you got extra money, hire a detective, get some information, make sure all those receipts come to you. It's a whole thing. So even with marriage, gentlemen, from a person who didn't know, as smart as I am, I thought it was just supposed to be 50-50 and blah, blah, blah. Man, I listen to you guys sometimes, and sometimes you don't hear me say anything, but sometimes I listen to y'all, I'll be like, wow, man, I really got to prepare for this.
and thank you for saying that, brother, because and just remember the question that I asked. I said once a month. I didn't
once
say it. Now we're here four times
a year.
Five Tuesdays we're here. For the last five we're here. I mean and most of you guys are here too, as your schedule permits, and we appreciate it. But I said once a month. And the reality is, does the devil ever take a whole month off? So you know what? I ain't even gonna mess with Rodney and his marriage this month. You know, he got December off. You know, enjoy the Christmas and the New Year, brother. I'm gonna go mess with T-Hawk and Ike and them. You know, you good. devil don't take a month off, and the class, you said it best. Every day you have to get up and sharpen your sword for battle. Every
That's
day.
Right.
The devil don't
That's
take
right.
a day off. You get up, he's up. What up, Rodney?
Right.
Period. And you got to
mm-hmm.
be prepared.
Hmm. Yep.
Hey, I just got to ask a question real quick.
Go ahead, bro.
Now, I'm still trying to figure out, y'all never explained what P-whipped is.
What?
Now, we P-whipped. You know, you guys.
P-whipped.
I remember when,
who nani whipped
a while ago.
I
understand what that means, but it sounds like different definitions from where our backgrounds came from. So Ike said P-whipped is a dude not telling his wife where he's going, as far as the strip club is concerned.
Oh, no, my definition
of
P-whipped, dude changing who he is once he's married and missing that and not willing to try to breach the fact that he's changed who he is now that he's married and he's not happy.
So that's the definition of whipped.
Yeah. She runs the household, brother. You don't have no say so. Before you do something, you gotta check with her.
But
if she don't agree with it, guess what? You ain't doing it.
Okay. So running the household or him not telling his wife that he's going to the strip club, is that him running or that her running the house, or is that him trying to respect? Because I heard it from both sides. So one side I heard it from, the guy was like, you know, I don't tell my wife about things like this because I don't want her to lose respect for me. Now, I don't
right.
consider that as a man that's whipped. I consider that as a man that's trying to break away from bad habits and trying to do it without his wife's knowledge of it. You know, so.
What kind of marriage is that? I mean, again, I'm not trying to place judgment, but, I mean, at some point, you know what I mean, you're going to need her help.
Yeah, but
you
think about
find
it, that's
out.
Most marriages. Do you think that's most marriages?
Yeah, but the whole helpmate piece is when you're trying to, you know, get rid of something that's been plaguing you for a while, and now you brought it into this marriage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And at some point, you'd be like, look, this is my struggle. This is what I'm dealing with. You know, and it's not an easy conversation to have, but, you know, to keep hiding, then when it really comes out, you know, it's a bigger problem.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, I will chime in by saying if something is habitual, then there is a issue. But even the wife, while hanging out with her girls, may see a group of gentlemen, and almost everyone sins with the eyes. So if the relationship in my singleness, my understanding, you guys are married, but if you have the respect enough to mention this is what you're going to do, I would say go ahead and do that. But if you are doing something that's a one-time event, everything, you know, from my standpoint, don't need to be spoken. It creates a bigger problem because she, again, having five sisters, she is not saying everything she does. She's just doing it in such a way that it's respectful to y'all union, and guys should do the same. But if that's going to be a problem for you internally, like the Bible says, don't partake at all. That's just my understanding.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And Classy, you also said something earlier about how we as men, we need to evolve. Did you say that? I think you would want to say that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I want to drop
one
more.
Oh, Lord.
I want to drop a monkey wrench, and I want to tie what Classy said about how men need to evolve, and I want to tie it to the first thing, the very first thing that the host said this evening. And he said, you know, tonight's topic, do you love me, is not a question for other brothers to ask each other on the call. That's what he said. I mean, you can rewind the tape. You can listen to it tomorrow. So my monkey wrench is, can a grown man ask another grown man, do you love me? Why or why not? Now, I'm talking to homo stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that the host said, the first thing he said was that this is not for the other brothers to ask each other on the phone, do you love me? So my monkey wrench is, can a grown man, you know, no homo stuff, I'm not talking about that. Can a grown man ask another grown man, do you love me? Or is that over the line? Or is that, you know, or is that something we
should... I don't know the point. I mean, what... why would I care?
Okay.
Maybe I'm missing it. Tell me why. Why would I care?
Well, I'm going to say that is a really weird question.
This whole, you know.
It really is a weird question, but I kind of get where he's going with it. And
thank you.
And I do appreciate this. When we went to go watch that movie, Best Man Holiday, and without saying too much of it, there was a part in there where it kind of talked this language about one man's love for another brother that was going to be needed, that love was going to be needed to be expressed at a certain point where, you know, and it could be nothing but love, because love was the thing that was going to defeat the venom and the hate that was already present. You follow what I'm saying? So that so it may be somewhere in life where I may need one of you brothers, and I need to know that you, do you love me enough to make sure that I don't do something to kill myself? Or do you love me enough to make sure that I make the right decision, or that I'm a good husband or a good father, or will you be the one that helps me with my demise?
Wow. Like, T-Hawk, you can use my basement to smash your coworker. Come on through. I got you, bro.
Exactly.
No.
You know, you don't want to tell me, hey, stop drinking, man. It's time to go home. Drink down, man. It's time to go home. You know what I mean? You don't want to come get me up out the hotel. You ain't supposed to be here, brother. You're married. Come on, let's go. You know, that's love, man. That's what that is. That ain't my homie. My homies will do anything, but the one that loves you is the one that's going
to
be there for your best interest.
Talk
and
to
at
you,
some point, you might want to ask that question.
I mean, so what do you call the ones that love you? I mean, if your homie's not the one that loves you, what do you call the ones that love you? You have a name for them.
Homie, lover, friend? I don't know. No,
I don't know, brother. I don't know.
I don't think they have
a name. It's not going to be plural. A lot of times it's not going to be plural. Homies is plural. It may be singular.
Mm-hmm.
It may be just one.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And just like in the movie, it was one. It appeared to be plural, but it was directed at one. Right?
Yeah.
So with that said, have anybody? I can't recall that it was a open spot for me to tell one of my homeboys to ask them that question. Do you love me? Wow, that sounds. if he was on his deathbed, like my cousin was one day, he was thinking about committing suicide. That's different. It was like I'm telling him everything that he needs to know in order for me to stop him from putting his gun down. That's on a whole different page. But has it been any dead time with any fellas?
How's it different?
I can't even, huh?
How's it different?
How's what different?
What you saying, how's any of that different? I mean, so, either I'm going to be... Hold on. Either I'm going to be somewhere getting ready to put a gun in my mouth because I want to commit suicide, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be somewhere in a hotel getting ready to throw my whole life away with this stripper or this chick from the job, and I'm married. Tell me the difference.
The difference is it's a need for one. And the other, with the other one, it's just like when I came and visited you and Rodney at the office, I felt love, but I wouldn't say nothing. And I don't recall neither one of y'all saying nothing either.
No.
You mean T-Hawk didn't ask you if you loved him?
Well, I mean, the question is coming across like it's just so freely said, but it's not.
You know what? Here's something me and my homies do, man. And again, I'm from Cali, so we kind of use that terminology a lot. But
sure.
We say different ways of saying that. Like, I got love for you, dude, but XYZ.
Yeah.
Or like my homie from New Orleans said to me the other day, I love you, dude, but XYZZYX. And I feel like the terminology might be different, you know what I'm saying? Because in this feminine America that we live in, we've taken these expressions of love and we've made them pro-homo, when actually you might be a pro-hetero dude. You know, so it's like, you know, now I'm just really concerned with the terminology, because we as a society, we tend to take anything masculine expression of, hey, bro, I got love for you, and make it into a bad thing. But I understand your question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's also a level of maturity too, and that whole masculine thing is not really even coming to play. You know, when you say somebody, hey, I love you, man. You know what I mean? The way you say, I got love for you, yeah, but I love you. And I think sometimes it's good to know that there's
I mean, yeah. I mean, I told my boys, you know, yeah, I love you. Yeah, you know, that's different. But asking another dude, do you love me?
that's
well, you can't roll past. The only way I see that coming into play, it's only one time. It's just he's trying to get me to do something that I really shouldn't do that'll be detrimental. And I'll be like, man, do you really love me asking me to do this?
So that's what that's circumstantial at that point, right?
Yeah, that's the only way I see it happening. That's just
right.
Me.
That was my point.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because you can't just roll that, like, telling the dude I love you versus that dude, do you love me? Them two totally different planets right there.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want is for that person you're saying that to have some deep feelings he ain't never told you about, and him to come back with something you didn't think. Like, huh?
That's right, buddy.
Kicking that dude out your house, man.
Oh, man. That's funny.
So back to marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask this question. Would it show your wife love if you asked her about past relationships that didn't make it so you could find out what not to do?
Do you really want to know that when you're asking, or you just...
You're asking,
that ain't why you're asking.
You want to know.
That ain't why you're asking.
I mean, wouldn't you want to know why to do before you did make it?
No.
You're asking for your own reason.
Man,
it's your own game. You want to know. You want to know. Well, what happened with old boy? How come he ain't make it? Or are you just really crazy?
Listen, I tell you like this. I went to saw a movie this weekend, right? And this man saw his wife's past, and he couldn't control himself.
Right.
It stuck to his mind. Every single time she would perform acts on him about what she did to other folks. You don't want to know, man. You really, you say you want to know, but you really don't want to know, because it'll affect
that's
you.
That's extreme, dude. She was a stripper. That's extreme, man. I'm talking about
it doesn't matter, man.
What
if your girl, you found out your girl was the whole of town? She done moved back. When you done went back to her hometown, found out she was the super freak there.
She was showing dudes
that
she loves them by speaking into the mic, T-Hawk.
What I'm saying is, she's not going to tell you that. You're asking her about her last relationship. What happened?
Right.
Why did old boy not make it? She ain't going to tell you, well, he left me because I was a freak. I just slept with his boy. She ain't going to tell you that.
She ain't going to say
but
that.
But are you really going to get the
question you looking for, though. That's the reason why you asked.
But are you going to really get the truth when you ask that question? Are you expecting the truth? Because you're not going to get his side.
Exactly.
You're only going to get her interpretation.
Exactly. You're not going to get the truth. It's the book that Ike's coming out with. Lies.
Women lie.
It's not going to happen.
I mean, you know, me as a single dude, I have asked just to see what the person would say on a psychological level. But again, like I made true to what I told y'all at first, I don't hold no necessarily ironclad truth to it because doing the L is what women do. You know what I'm saying? So I take it with a grain of salt. If you did give me some information that comes out 8 months later that you told me the truth, so be it. But I you know, you don't really want to know because, like, in the West Coast, we got this term we all used to be. And you can never tell, like one of the guys just said, who used to be a prostitute, who used to be an escort, and the world is bigger now. You know, I mean, live in your picket fence and enjoy the love that you're getting. You know, I mean, you really don't want to open the Pandora's box to information you don't want to know about.
Okay, so there's no references, there's no investigation, there's no nothing for this commitment forever. What kind of person were you in your last relationship? What did the guy say about you? How come the guy didn't make it?
My wife said something to me about 2 years ago. We were trying to figure out how to punish the kids, and she said, I didn't want to mention this, but a guy in my last relationship or something like that took the beds from the kids' room and had them sleeping on the floor and took the doors off the door hinges. I said,
Hold on. That's what she said the last dude did?
She told me somebody in her relationship that she used to be in a relationship with, because I was trying to figure out a way to punish the kids. They had did something. But she suggested something another dude in her past did.
Gotcha.
And I almost lost my mind to think that you would invite a suggestion from a previous relationship in this one. I don't care what he did. Don't you ever tell me what another dude did. That's just like me saying, look, you know, my last relationship, you know, a girl, boy, you know, she you don't want to hear that. I don't care what it is. God, you wouldn't want to hear that, you know, man, she didn't cook it like this or she didn't back it up like that. You don't want to hear that. Or, no, you don't clean drapes. Like, you don't, the woman don't want to hear nothing about another woman doing something in your past. That
but you can't be
like
a
her.
Punk neither. I mean, sometimes you gotta let her know. Hey, look, the last one did this. I mean, for me, when I said I already knew mine wasn't doing it, she was like, "Well, I ain't doing that." So you take it or leave it. And I said, "I take it anyway." James Evans, we trying to bring back James Evans now.
But Florida didn't say nothing about no past boyfriends.
No, if Florida around get.
Oh, damn. I said we trying to break.
Wait, you're wrong. There was an episode Florida talked about one of her past boyfriends.
Yeah, and he shut that down real quick.
We trying to bring back James Evans, not Florida.
Can't be a James Evans without a Florida, man.
But you know the answer. Well, not the answer. My answer is that it's a teaching moment. You know, like I said, I'm not surprised when ladies do this. My ex, appreciate her a lot, probably should have married her, but my ex, I realized, was a very presumptuous person. And her thought process of what to say and what not to say sometimes did not exceed past her own personal gratification. And I used to have to explain that all the time, like, hey, when you say X and do X, it gets me thinking X. Well, she couldn't appreciate it at the time because her training from her mother was something totally different than someone who has been through a bunch of messed up boyfriends or baby daddies. They have a different thought process. She didn't have any of those experiences, so it had her thinking a little loosey-goosey. Now, when she got married later, after I left, to another dude, I saw her at a business function, and she said, you know what, when you left, I was so distraught, but my new husband tells me some of the same stuff you was trying to teach me. And I said, that just proves I wasn't Mr. Evil XYZ. I'm trying to show you. She said, now I understand. But it took that for her to understand, and it took us breaking up for me to drop some of these diamonds I dropped because I wasn't thinking like this at all.
Wow.
Not the way I talk now. No, I was totally regular dude on the street, stupid dumb, thinking it's supposed to work XYZ way, and man. Quick question. Have you guys started y'all YouTube page for this show?
Did we what?
Have you started your YouTube page for this show?
Yeah. Well, we have
one. We've got a couple of videos out there, yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple
of
videos.
Well, it's not so much videos. It's that a good marketing thing for you guys is when you do these audios, you can download this, put a picture of the group or what have you, and put the episodes on the YouTube and get more followers.
Yeah, I tried it, and the audio file is so huge. It just takes 3 hours of audio, which is over 50 megabytes. It just takes forever. I probably don't have the greatest software either to do it, but I did try to. I did attempt to do that.
Well, I tell you what, I'll do you guys a favor because I got ways to shrink it and all that. So probably like I can only do it weekly because I'd be so busy doing other stuff. But if you guys let me know like every Saturday, then I'll try to chop it up Saturday morning and send it back to you in segments.
Oh, good.
That's what's up.
And then probably depending on what you're talking about, large file, I might be able to turn you on to some free software that'll show you how to do it yourself real quick.
Just trying to help the show.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Because we definitely like new followers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to divert back to the topic, and I think I might have stumbled upon another monkey wrench.
Got to go to sleep, you guys. You got to take care.
Okay. No, wait for this one.
All right.
This is my last monkey wrench, I think. I won't hold you too long. But you talked about how we all used to be talking about our past. And I think you mentioned that we all sin with an eye. And what's the topic again tonight, fellas? What is it?
Do you love me?
Do you love me? Based on some of the things that you do, do you ever think God ever says to himself, do you love me?
Said
maybe I'm just
me
talking
today.
About me, you know, since your
brother. No, said it to me
straight.
Today, man.
You know, y'all brothers walk straight 24/7, 365. You know, I'm not talking about you. Maybe I'm just directing the question at me when God sits up on high and is like, do you love me? With your actions, the stuff that you do, do you love me? I don't know. Maybe I'm just putting the mirror in front of my. I don't know. Just a question.
I don't think he's got. I think he already knows what's in your heart.
He
already has done deal at that point. If he's talking to you, he already knows what's in your heart. Now, if he ain't talking to you, if he ain't asking you a question, you're in trouble. Because, you know, you ain't chosen. You just on the other side, and that's where you're going to stay.
Mm.
You know.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let me grab some tweets, fellas. Much love to y'all. Y'all take
all right,
care. Take care.
Thank you, man.
All right, man. Be later.
So when you, I mean, if we can talk a bit about the things that go on daily or weekly in a marriage that misinterpret love. And I think they said men want to be respected and women want to be loved. Is that correct? Or
yes.
Women want to be something. Yeah. So
they
want
to feel love.
And,
yeah, same thing.
Yeah. So now, you know, the thing that happens that changes the quickest and the more frequent, I think, is intimacy in marriage. And I think that more times the man would like to indulge in it than the woman, in most cases. And when that doesn't happen to our likings, can we sometimes feel that they don't love us when they don't pay attention to that part for us? When they don't think about it the way we think about it? When they don't prioritize it the way we prioritize it? Can that be thought of as lack of love?
I mean, in their opinion, you can call it what you want, but if she's tired and she done told you she's tired, then you might as well hang it up, because if you bring it up, then it's going to seem like that's all you ever want.
But did she come back the next night untired? And correct?
I mean, but you're not thinking about the next night. You're thinking about the current one. You know, you're thinking about, hey, why are you always 1, 2, 3,
always,
five?
There you go, but it don't go away, right?
Well, no, it ain't always. You just try to dress
it up. You're
still
available the next night. Then. Well, you might even say, well, what about tomorrow night? You going to be tired tomorrow?
I don't know if you say that, brother.
I don't know if you want to say that.
No. That ain't
what about next week? Gonna be tired next week? The brother said always, so that means it sounds like a, you know.
No, when you say always, the trick of the talk or the conversation is to try to make them feel guilty and give you some. So that's the tactic behind saying always. But at the same time, if you have a conversation about sex to your wife, she's going to take offense to say, you know, wait a minute, you're acting like you don't never get none. Look at these two kids in there. I was like, well, you know, that's two times. You know, but, and this is not, again, my relationship. It's not my relationship. I'm just saying brothers have experienced this type of thing when they obviously have sex on their mind more than their wife do. And when it comes up, they try to make their wives feel guilty through the conversation, like using words like always, or using words like never, or you don't never, you know, tip me off no more. You don't never give me that. You never do this. You never do. And it could have just happened in reality last week, you know.
Yeah. Yes. I got you. But could it mean to you that there's a lack of love when it's not happening as much as you want it to happen?
Yeah, when you fool like that, you saying anything to get that out you. I mean, it's gonna feel like she hates you.
I'm not talking about pump faking, man. I'm talking about seriously feeling that way. Because some people go cheat because of that.
Every dude.
Some people go and have affairs because it's not happening. They're like, she can't possibly love me and not do it to me. So now I got to go get it from somebody else.
No, that's a selfishness. That seems like more of a selfishness. I believe it is. If she give it to you 3 times a week and you need it 5 times a week, then
not,
you can find it.
We ain't talking about 3 times a week. We know people that get it once a month in marriage, man. Once a month. And that's a stretch.
That's not good.
Nah, that's not good. That's not
you
good.
Know what I mean? And that's like pulling teeth.
But that's something else is wrong with the relationship, you know, at that point. If she's not giving it to you but once a month, if that, then you got to find out what else is the problem? Because it's not the sex. It's not the fact that she's not giving it to you for no reason. It is a reason why you ain't getting it.
Yeah, she don't love you.
No, it can't be that. It has to be something else.
Why it can't be that?
If she don't love you, then she wouldn't. I mean, you would have figured that out a long time ago and say, hey, I'm out of here. It's obvious that, you know, this is over with. Because when the love is gone, ain't no sense in staying around.
Okay, so the sex is gone. It doesn't stay around either.
you can dance around that. You can, okay, hey, we're going to try to figure out and work this out.
We
why?
Can't dance. We can't dance around once a month, brother. We can't dance around that.
Saying, long before it gets to once a month, you need to be trying to figure out why you ain't getting it twice a week.
Gotcha.
You know, once that three or four times a week cut back to twice a week and once a week, you need to start asking questions then. You don't need to wait out until it's once a month. You're going to starve yourself.
But that's not like the solution. But what I'm saying is, I still want the question to be answered. Can we take that as if they don't love us when it's that frequent,
no.
once a month?
No.
No. So you're saying no. So regardless whether they cut it off or keep it going, they still love us.
You first said when we first got on this call, you know how we all, or what we all believe on this phone. You know how we all feel about things, and I assume that you was talking about it's our fault if something doesn't work out in the relationship because we are held responsible. If
sure.
we're held responsible, then we also have held responsible for why she only giving it to us for once a month. So you can't flip the script and say, well, we're not responsible for her not giving it to us for once a month, but we are responsible for the happiness in their marriage. It has to go on. It's all on the same page. If we're responsible for her, we got to also be responsible for, dang, we got to find out why am I not getting it twice a week like I used to or three times a week like I used to. Let me find out the problem so I can fix it if I'm supposed to be the fixer. If I'm supposed to be the one that's held responsible in this relationship, let me find out what I've done so we can get that back because I don't want to lose that.
Hey, Rodney.
Yes, sir.
Did that brother just break it down?
Yeah, he did. I think he did.
I have nothing else to say on that topic.
I don't either.
No.
I mean, that was
I think he just shut it down. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree, so.
Yeah, that's a great word.
Wow.
Great words.
Wow. Great words. Do you love me? That's the question. That is the topic of the night. Do you love me? If your spouse asks you that, you look at her like she's got four heads and say, why are you asking me this question?
I don't.
Anybody got any?
Oh, man, I just, you know. It shouldn't be a question where they have to ask you, do you love you? I mean, if they have to ask the question, then it goes back to the men, then you're doing something wrong. You're not even showing her or you're not presenting her a good feeling that, you know, that you love her.
Mm.
And it should be vice versa. They should be doing the exact same to you. Sometimes you don't have to say it. It could be a kiss on the forehead. It could be funny games that y'all play out of the blue. Or having dinner on the table for you. Everything has a sense of love. It has some type of action behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the action and not the actual words. Now, I could be wrong. Some people may want just to hear the word, but the word has no meaning if it doesn't have any action behind it.
Mm. Yep. So, something me and Rodney talked about earlier this week when you when you love somebody the way you were brought up to love them, or you were brought up to love. When you do certain things that you were taught that shows love. You know, you marry a woman, you have kids, put a nice roof overhead, nice car to drive, a little change in bank account. You know, you come home, you go to church, you know, you do the traditional I love you stuff. You know,
right.
Occasionally take her out to date night. You know what I mean? You get her surrounded by other people of like minds, married Christian folks, yada, yada. You know, and you've done it. Right? You've done it. Now you've shown her love. I'm showing you love because this is how my daddy showed my mama love. And this is how his father showed his wife love. And that's it. You know what I mean? So now you are the man. But the kicker is, that's not how she wants to be loved. She may want something else.
That might
not be her love language. That might not be her thing. She's probably like, yeah, but everything you've given me, I could do it on my own. I didn't really need you to give me any of these things because I already had half of them. I was working on the other half before you got here. You know what I'm saying? So when does it come to a point where we ask our spouse, how do you want me to love you?
Well, that's part of the marital maintenance. I mean, you gotta ask that question. You gotta basically come out and ask that question.
Do people ask that question?
I haven't in a while. I'll be the first to ask the question all the time.
When did you ask the question? Do you remember?
Last year.
Were you married? You were married.
Were you married? But yeah, I mean, last year I asked that question because, you know, we were going through changes and we were ready to make some other steps that we knew that was going to be hard and it affects the marriage. So, you know, every once in a while you gotta have that understanding. But it's not one of those things I ask every day. But it's one of those things you have to ask because you gotta know how you're leading. You gotta know if you're taking your family in the right direction.
Anybody else? Has anybody else asked that question recently? How do you want me to love you? How do you want to be loved in this marriage?
No, I haven't.
I just recently asked. Just very, very recently.
And you asked just like
that question. Recently, just like that. How do you want me to love you? How do you want to be loved?
What'd she say?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a conversation.
I mean, but did she say, did she get offended by the conversation?
No.
So she embraced it?
No, because it's a genuine concern, right? Because anytime I believe that the paths don't line up correctly, something went wrong. Something was forgotten. Right? Something was forgotten or something was overlooked or something was taken for granted. So at some point you got to get back to the foundation and say, okay, what am I supposed to be doing here again? You follow me? And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a healthy thing to just reiterate to me what am I supposed to be doing. Because maybe I've gone back to the things that I think I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm staying in that lane for a little while, but it may not be making me happy. But I'm thinking I'm doing it right because this is the way people do it. Society tells us to do it this way, but it may not be making you happy. So I need to know, do I make a left turn up here at the light to make you happy, or do I keep staying in the lane that I'm in?
And that's the question you should ask her when you're 4 times a week trimmed down to once a week.
Exactly. When things ain't coming your way, they're supposed to come your way.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Then you step up and say, and it all goes back to what you said, Darren. As head of the household, We need to ask that question. And we need to demand the answer. Because if they don't tell you, you don't know. Because if they don't tell you, then you assume it. And we're going to assume wrong every time. Because you know they like to complain. Anyway. So I think it's healthy to ask that question. Not do you love me, but how can I love you? What are the things that I can do that'll make me better at loving you?
There it is. There it is. There it is.
And that's pretty much sharpening your sword every day.
Pretty much. And I think that she'll appreciate that. I mean, I don't know how. Of course, there's a possibility that, you know, one could take it the wrong way. But, I mean, that's a, it's a genuine approach. And I don't know how she wouldn't receive that other than in a positive light.
Of course. Of course. See, so it all goes back to, just like Darren just said, certain things that we want from them. And whether we get them or whether we don't get them totally lies upon our actions, right? So it's like traveling somewhere without a map or a GPS. You may look up and ask enough directions and get there. But history tells you that it's going to take you a long time to get there without a map, if you get there at all.
If you get there.
And I just think if you get there at all. And sometimes I think we need to get that map again. I mean, I know I do. I got to get that map again because I've lost it. You know what I mean? I've gone back to my own navigation. And I'm navigating, but it's taking me a while to get to where I need to be. You see what I'm saying? So now I got to ask the question, and I got to break it down and say, okay, can you really tell me again what I'm supposed to be doing? What's going to do it for you? That's kind of like asking, I mean, would it be crazy to ask your wife what makes you horny? Is that a crazy question to ask your wife? What
No, the crazy part is when she answers you. That's crazy.
Good words.
She should answer you, though.
No, but if she answers you and you find out you ain't been doing the right things, and then you're like, well, that's when your mind starts to wonder, well, who else is, how you know you like that? And then all these other things. You know?
Wow.
What do you mean, how do you know you like that?
How
do you know you like that? She likes that. Just like I told you before, before you, there was always somebody else.
Right, that's true.
And you ain't asked that question. Well, what did old boy do?
Right.
What did old boy do to get that thing right? Because maybe
right.
I need to call him to find out what I need to do to get that thing right. We got too much pride for that call, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the conversation I can pass. I figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, you ask, and I think she'll tell you. I think because it benefits her that you know. And it doesn't benefit her.
Well, flip it then. Flip it. What if your wife asks you, what do she need to do to sexually please you? And you haven't told her what it really was because she hadn't really done it. Would you be willing to share with her all the freaky stuff that the other woman did that just curled your toes? Would you share that?
Yes. Yes. But you don't reference anybody else. You can't.
So your wife is not the kind to say, wait a minute, I don't want to be doing this if it's gonna remind you of that other chick that I hate.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you can't reference that other chick when you're explaining what you want.
Their minds, I'm saying, their minds automatically go to the chick that they really hate. Did so-and-so do this to you?
If you like something, that's like if you like a great Kool-Aid, you only like it because you've had it before. Because you know what it tastes like.
That's not the same.
She already knows somebody else did it. She just don't have to know who it was.
But that doesn't mean her mind is not going to go there.
That's not the point. The point is you want her to know what it is that turns you on.
My ex-wife asked me one time. She said, now, if you wasn't with me, who would you want to be with? Because I never showed any interest in another woman. Never showed any interest that I wanted to mess around. I mean, even though I thought somebody was fine, she would never knew. She couldn't even tell from my expressions. So she just found it bugged her after like 9 years, and she finally asked me, if you wasn't with me, who on this island would you be with? And she automatically thought it was one person. And I said, no, I would, because I said, it's nobody. I kept saying nobody. She said, no, just be real. And because she was thinking that she can handle the truth. And I told her nobody, and then she finally pulled it out of me because she was talking all about these different girls that it wasn't them. And then she said, it has to be somebody. So I finally told her it was the girl who looked like Celie. It was this chick that looked like the Celie off The Color Purple. Now, she looked like... Okay, let me explain.
That dude sounds like Scooby-Doo over there.
Let me explain. Let me explain something.
You need to explain that, brother.
Celie was married to this. I'm gonna call her Celie. She was married to this officer, light skinned, tall, basketball looking brother. He's an officer. They had three girls. Now Celie was dark chocolate, like color purple. It spit an image.
So she was perfect.
The hat,
yeah, go ahead.
The shoes, the dress, everything.
Celie
matched.
Was a singer, right?
No, not that one. I'm talking about the ugly one.
Yeah, no, I got
you.
Okay,
let me finish. Let me finish. Mm. But this girl was slim. She had her PhD. She spoke with so much elegance, and she walked with so much grace that you couldn't see. When you first look at her and her husband, I was like, what is that dude doing with her? But then when she opened her mouth and she smiled and she talked to you, she made you feel like you was the only one in the room. And she had the meanest walk. The guys on the base used to call her Mean Walk for short. She had the meanest walk that you ever seen. She had so much confidence in herself that you look past her ugliness. And my ex befriended this chick because she thought that she was too ugly for me to mess with. But I said, if you really want to know who tweaks my interest because she's so interesting and intriguing, Celie.
I get that.
And when I told her that, her whole world about Celie started to change. She didn't like her no more. She started bringing home gossip about her so I wouldn't like her. And that just showed me she couldn't handle the conversation. She asked for something. I explained it to her out of, you know, trying to open up, trying to let her know that I was she wasn't by her. Because for her to ask me these questions, I felt that she wanted to tell me that she wanted, somebody who she thought was interesting. And I wasn't ready to hear that, so that's why I just kept saying nothing, because I don't want to hear who you're interested in. I don't care. I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to know. But when she kept bugging me and she kept accusing me of liking all these other girls, I just said, no, you barking up the wrong tree. And when I told her Celie, she just, she just almost, she tried to keep it together, but when she hung around, you can tell it was a difference. And the conversation, with her and me changed. She acted as if she went into this mode of, she wants my man. So that's why I don't ever want to talk about with my wife any past relationships, any of your past relationships. And I don't want, if you ask me about the wife part and you ask me certain questions, I'm going to feed you a little bit at a time just to let you leave me alone so we can break off in a conversation about that little bit that don't matter. But I'm not going to give you no Full Metal Jacket stuff.
But should you expect that back if you asked that question? Are you looking for Full Metal Jacket stuff?
No, it just takes our minds there. If you're going to tell me, if you remember it, if this guy's on your mind about this at this very second, I know something else is on your mind about him. Now I want to know what it is.
Yeah, but he
it's
got
gonna
fired,
bother,
man.
I can't hear you. Just the echo.
You got the echo?
Okay,
yeah,
there you
go ahead.
He got fired.
Who got fired?
Don't matter. The last dude. He ain't make it.
Yeah, but don't. I just don't want
to. There was
wanna
something that he did while he was there that might be beneficial to you.
But
all
I don't want to be doing it. Let's say I'm. Let's say it's Let's just be. It's 11:45. Let's just be open. If she tells me that, you know, you ain't eating it right. Okay, you ain't doing this right. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to do it? And she started explaining to me. My mind is going to be like, well, you know, who? I mean, are you thinking about this?
He still got fired though. You understand? He's still an old past employee. He gone. You there now.
Yeah, but he did something right.
Of course, but he ain't doing enough right. Because now she got your ring.
But now you want a piece of him. This is the way, not my mind, but some guys' mind can go this way. You want a piece of him and all of me, but you want me to act like him in this way.
Nah, she don't want a piece of him. He gone.
No, I'm meaning a
he
piece of him.
He ain't with it no more.
Well, a piece of him means something that reminds, something that you want me to do that remind you of him is where the mind is at.
Let me ask you a question. Is there something that your ex-girl did that can benefit your wife right now? True story.
Yeah, but she'll never know that. She would never know.
Okay, but it's but there is a thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But
so how would you
know.
How would you get that information to your wife? Because she needs to know it. How would
no,
you get
don't
that?
Know, she don't need to know it. She gonna figure it out. Because we got the rest of our life for her to figure it out.
But you need that like yesterday.
No, I don't need it like yesterday. Long as I'm getting page one, I don't need page five.
Okay.
I mean, it ain't that serious to what it ain't that serious. Like you know, I need food. As long as I'm getting some, I'm straight. Some people got it, they ain't getting it but once a month. See, I'm glad I ain't got that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't complain when, you know, some things are happening.
No, I know, I understand. But I'm just saying there's information out there, right, that's beneficial that we won't go get.
Mm-mm,
because
no,
of pride.
It's too risky.
There's things that would benefit our marriages that we won't go find out about because of pride.
Or because of, it's too risky.
I mean, it's risky, but isn't it riskier to just do without?
Nah.
And leave it up to chance?
If you love her, you
she
go
might
get it right.
Or maybe she might not.
If you love her, you go get it right.
You go get
that info.
You get the information. Do you love me? I love you. I'm going to go get this information. Tell me what happened. Why it didn't work? Tell me why it didn't work. That's what I want to know. What happened? Why didn't it work?
And what if she say, well, he was just too long? What if you get it? Oh, he was just too long.
He
went there.
Why are your fears? I mean, you got to get in touch with your own fears. Like, you know what I'm saying? Why think that way?
No,
he
what if
she
fired?
It don't matter if he was too long and he was fired. So she went and got somebody that wasn't as long.
But what would that lead to? What would it leave you, though? What would it leave you? You would be in competition state now.
You're in competition state now. Don't lie to yourself.
But no, the thing is that will be stuck in your head for the longest time.
That's what I'm saying.
Because now that you know, and then every time, and now you're looking at expressions, and you're trying to figure out, is she faking or
right.
am I?
Okay,
you know,
so hold on a second.
Why
so,
and the if comes into play, and once in
so
a while, the
me,
if comes into your marriage, you're in trouble.
So
hold on, P-Town. So you're telling me, and the guys on the call and listening in Radio Land, that has never come across your mind that somebody that she was with was bigger than you?
I don't want that to cross. Do you want that to cross your mind, really? I mean, do you really want to think about that?
Answer the question.
What's the question?
Don't answer the question.
I could care less. But that's just.
Thank you. You could care less why, because now you're in position.
No, I didn't say I could care less.
It don't
less.
Matter.
I just said
don't
I
matter.
Don't want to know it.
I got you.
But what if,
what
if she want to have that conversation with you and tell you, hey, you know, the last dude, you know, he put this pump on and we ordered
yeah,
off the
and
internet.
Got fired. And he got fired. He's
no,
longer
we, she's
employed.
Not talking about
so
the fired part.
Me?
But she, I'm telling you that if she wants to be open with you, she's like, you know what, I got used to a certain size. So let's just say we got this little pump thing on the internet, and I want to know, can you get this pump thing?
Okay, listen. You're missing the point. The point here is this, okay? She got used to a certain size. Then why is he not still there hitting it?
Because he didn't have a job. That was the reason, because he didn't bring in any money. But that has nothing to do with his
sex life. If he's hitting it right, he don't need a job. That is his job. What are you talking about, man?
Oh, man.
There's plenty of dudes unemployed that's hitting it right, that's living up in the house because they're hitting it right.
But that doesn't pay the bills, and smart women figure that out sooner or later. That's not enough.
And they still hold on to that thing because it's right.
They hold on to it for a short period of time, but eventually they like, look, this ain't enough. I need you to work.
Okay, I hear you.
You know, because their primary responsibility is they're pregnant for the third time, and he's still at home, and she's working two jobs. That's not going to work.
That's not always the case, though. That's not always the case. A lot of times those dudes are hitting it right, still there. And he could have a job.
You think
he might not be making as much as her, but he could have a job, and he's still there because he's hitting it right. There's some women that you would not kick out of bed, right? And if you got a chance to marry them, you might. Because that thing is just that good.
Oh, I don't know. It's never that good. Like, let's say if she cheated and she still got some good stuff. Which is, I mean, you know, I know we're going off the left field, but it's always something that you just really don't want. I don't think the egos, the pride, and everything else can handle a certain type of conversation that you're thinking that you can invite in and benefit from. You're thinking that, okay, I'm finna find out what I need to do and benefit from the last dudes that was here. But when you go up in that trap, man, and that it is a trap in some cases, if she was to be totally honest with you, you're not going to want to know what she has to say about certain things, I don't believe.
I don't really think that she's going to tell you anything that's going to surprise you. I don't think that she's going to tell you anything that's a deal breaker.
Not a
that's
deal breaker, but a thought. It could be something.
I don't think she's
going to
tell you anything. I don't think if she loves you, she's not going to tell you anything that's going to hurt your pride.
No, not offhand, but when you start digging, because you are a prideful person, not you, but just a man is a prideful person, they're gonna ask more questions. They're like, well, so if he did this, then dang, you know, well, what happened then? You know, you want
to. But
I mean, you're trying
to
get info. You're trying to get intel that's going to benefit you. So you got to know more of the story. And then when she started looking off into left field and smiling and going on, you'd be like, "What was that noise? What was that smile for?"
It don't matter. He was still fired. That's the point. He don't have a ring. He may have wanted to give her the ring. She told him no and told you yes. So you're still winning. That's the only point I'm making. But there'd be. But again, maybe I'm lunching. Maybe you should never talk to your wife about the ex.
No.
And vice versa. Maybe that's just taboo and it should never be discussed.
Right. That's all I'm saying. Because we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago, on a show where we was talking about if your wife was to tell you that she was used to be some, when she got in the church, she used to be a prostitute, and then how many is enough? And you remember that? And you said, well, if five is cool, then five is cool. But then when I asked you if 70 was cool, you was like, wait a minute. Well, her past is her past.
If she had 70 boyfriends?
No, if she had, 70 sexually active boyfriends, yeah. You remember that conversation?
A lot of information. But yeah, I do. That's a lot of information. I'm not trying to go that deep. I'm just saying, if there was like the last two, you might want to say, okay, let's talk about them, and you know what happened.
Don't want to hear it.
I mean, when people go get a job, they want to see your last number of employers. Well, what happened while you was on this job? What kind of employee were you?
No. Actually,
I don't understand why in marriage, that's not important information.
That's important. I think it's important information when she brings it up. If she brings it up, then it must be important. If you have to ask, then it's a lack of self-confidence because I've seen that literally break up a relationship.
What's one of the crazy part?
It unraveled.
One of the crazy part, Darren?
What's that?
We ask during the courtship stage. We forget that we talk about that during the courtship stage in the beginning. What, girl, you fine. Why are you by yourself? What happened?
Well, you're just like the other man at that point. You're not trying to fall in love with it. You're just trying to hit it at that point. You're not looking at wifey. You're looking
at the information is just as important then as it is now. Now you deep in it, and you want to know why. Now you're going through some stuff, and you're like, damn, what if old boy went through the same thing I'm going through? Is she really crazy? I need to know. Why did he leave you again? Why?
But you're not going to find that out through her, though. You're going to have to call him.
Okay. The answer that she gives you will tell you a lot.
Toy, say that again.
The answer that she gives you will tell you a lot.
Now,
believe me. It's hard to hide a lot of things. Okay.
She's not going to tell you, well, he left me because I was just crazy. I just, I blew his, I cut his tires up. I did this. And you're going to be like, well, what did he do to deserve that? Oh, nothing. He just walked in the house with the wrong pizza. You're going to be like, what?
Then she could say, well, we broke up because he cheated on me.
But that's not going to tell you what happened after that.
Yeah, well, we broke up because he hit me.
Okay.
Right.
So now
you know that you're dealing with some deep rooted abuse issues.
Right.
Now you're dealing with some infidelity issues that may come back and bite you later.
Right.
And it's good information
to
know.
That part is. I mean, it could be beneficial, but on the other side, you could be asking for some problems.
Okay. All right. It's either or. I think it'll be beneficial. But that's, that we saying that with a grain of salt because I don't really think people are going to go back and have that conversation. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I've seen a conversation, not a divorce, but a serious, serious argument happen because it was something in the past that, something that she mentioned something to him that her ex did, and he tried to mimic that. And did it and got it wrong because she kept telling him, you ain't even doing it right, or whatever it was. She's like, she didn't give him his props on doing it. And he said, won't you call old boy back over here and let him do it? And it was just always he felt like he was competing with somebody he couldn't beat.
Yeah,
and
but see, she didn't respect him. That's why she gave him the answers like that. I mean, you got to have respect. You got to be mature and respectful to even have that conversation. Because
so
if there's some larceny, it's going
to
be an issue. Go ahead, Patrice, I'm sorry.
I said that goes back to Ike's book, All Women Lie. They're not going to tell you the truth because men can't handle it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is even if they tell you the reason why, I mean, there's still information that will be useful to you. Like I said, if he cheated, if he was abusive, if he was a mama's boy, there's all information that you could use to say, okay, well, these are the things that I definitely can't do. That's all I'm saying. And she's going to tell you the things he did wrong. That's all you want to know. Well, what did he do so I know that I won't do it? He ain't going to tell you too many things about what he did good because he's an ex.
Yeah, that could be true. I mean, it's just a fine line because there's certain things I would not want to know.
Yeah. Would you want to know if he cheated on you?
Would I want to know that?
Would you want to know if her ex cheated on her? Would you want to know?
Yeah, that's a cool conversation.
Would you want to know if he sexually abused her? Would you want to know?
Yeah, that's a conversation that's one that can go by.
Would you want to know if he hit her? Would you want to know?
Yeah, definitely.
Because that would help you, right?
Yeah.
It would help you be more sensitive towards those things.
Right, but what I don't want to know is you know,
whether he was slinging.
Yeah. That's certain things you just don't want to. I just don't want to touch that. I mean.
Well, let me tell you something. All right, somebody was slinging. It may not have been him, but somebody in that past was slinging.
Right.
Just know it. We
yeah,
all got to
yeah.
know it.
You're right.
So.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Just like that's somebody right. in your past did it all, took it every way, which way.
That's right.
Every which way you want it. Like
mm-hmm.
Burger King, 24 hours. You just
yeah.
roll over and get it every kind of which way you want it. They got to know that, too. They know that they're not the only ones that make those toes curl. There's somebody else that make those toes curl before them. They know it.
They do.
But sooner or later, you're going to have that conversation, too. You see what I'm saying?
Not really.
If you open the door and say, I want to be open to different conversation and I want to know everything about you and you everything about me, because you're still trying to get in there, but you really don't want to know certain things. And then, you know, and she starts asking you questions and you start saying, you know, she said, I want to know how to please you sexually. And you wide open, but you don't see the gut shot coming.
That's a beautiful question, by the way. I hope all y'all get that question. That's a beautiful question she asked you that. That means she does love you.
That means she got one coming, though.
If she asked you how can she please you sexually, she loves you.
Yeah, but then there comes the other question. If she says, how you can please me.
Yeah, because I watched this movie, and this is what I saw in this movie. It don't even have to be the movie. You'd be like, yeah, I watched this movie once. It's called Endless Love, and this is how they did it on the beach, and I think I want to do it like that. Or whatever. You ain't got to tell us how they did it.
No. What I'm saying is you ask her, and then she just straight out blunt with you. Look, I mean, we open. I want to be honest with you and everything. My last boy was like 9 inches, and he got that way because he ordered this pump, and I think I still got it in the closet. Use it, see if it'll work on. Man, you don't want to hear all of that. You just don't want to. You can't handle certain conversations.
But is the information beneficial to you? Yes or no?
It's beneficial, but your mind, though. That's all I'm saying. Your mind.
But what
you
I'm saying is, it's beneficial information to you that you should know. Because on the back of her mind, she's thinking about 9 inches when she's having sex with you. And she's thinking of, well, how can I tell him to get this pump?
Right.
And when can I bring it to him?
And then she throws that leading question out there.
She may be like,
that's
hey, man,
that's
I was
what
on the internet, and I saw this pump. Why don't you try it out?
But that's what you call.
She
had
to bring up old boy.
She don't have to, but you can't tell her how to have a conversation when you know she's lying. Because if you find
don't
out
matter.
She's lying, then you're going to be like, wait a minute, why are you lying? Why are you not telling me what you really want to tell me?
How do you know she's lying?
You can tell.
If she want more inches, that don't mean she lying.
But how you know
she lied? She lied when she married you when you wasn't big enough. That's when she lied.
I'm just thinking, man. Rodney, no, that's your wife. Because, I mean, that wasn't your only girlfriend, though. And you wasn't her only boyfriend. So, you know, that's 14 years. That's way in. That's really, yeah, you stock lock and in, bro. But, you know, a lot of these guys out here that's single, you know, they meet all kind of different women, and they got all kind of different paths. And, you know, and my relationship 7 years in, we good, but it's just been so many people I talk to, it's just not a good time to bring up the past, but they really want to know about it. It's like a Pandora's box, like somebody said earlier tonight. You want to peek in it, but you don't know everything, but when you open it a little bit, you get it all. And it could definitely be detrimental to your relationship.
No. And let me tell you why I disagree with that. The only reason why I disagree with that is because, let's just say it's you. Your wife does not have larceny in her heart against you. She's not going to tell you anything that's going to hurt you or stop you from being the man that you need to be. Trust me. So she may give you the Webster's version of what she likes. It won't be the X-rated version. You know what I mean? So it'll be enough so you'll know what she wants, but not enough where it's going to hurt your manhood.
Well, she didn't think it was going to hurt my manhood to tell me about a punishment, and that almost killed me. I mean, I'm not insecure, but another relationship that you think that I'm going to try here, you might as well not even said that.
But listen, you see, that's you and your mature level, right? That right there is good information. I thought about that a lot of times with my daughter. Your room messy? You don't want to clean it up? Okay, that's all right. Next time you come home, there won't be a door.
I mean, I'm not saying the
We're
idea
gonna take the door.
I'm not saying the idea was
it's whole door.
You're not getting
the whole door. Yeah.
Okay, I got that. But I'm not saying the idea was bad. I'm saying where it came from. You ain't have to say that. If you would have said we
like,
did it.
Okay, you're right, Darren. But it's not like she said, well, hold on. Let me call my ex to find out what he would do in this situation.
Well,
now, that's murder. But if she reflects back on something that worked. I mean, okay, so hold on a second. So let's say you got a teenager right now. Teenager don't listen, unruly, out of pocket. But when she go to old boy house, she act like. But you just can't figure out how to do it on your end. Right? You're going to take that pride and be like, well, I'm just going to be a failure on this end, or you're going to find out how to get it done.
Well, if I'm talking from a step-parent point of view to a dad's point of view, in that situation, I wouldn't mind talking to him because hopefully we have a relationship anyway if I was in that situation.
Who's the dad?
Huh?
Who's the dad?
No, I'm saying if you're saying that
ex-boyfriend, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying if we had that kind of if he and I had that relationship and understanding, then I just call him. Hey, this is your daughter?
You gotta ask him. You ask her. What does he do to get this girl to act like? Well, that's what he do. All right, now I'm going to do it. That's how she was trying to
well,
tell
Well, let me
well,
be the one.
This is what we do. This is what happened that worked. So we need to do that here because we know it's going to work.
Well, let me ask that question. Let me invite. Don't volunteer anything.
How are you going to invite something that you don't even know? She bring you up on something that you don't even know. That'll be beneficial. Right?
We're going to agree to disagree because I'm not going to ask for no... None. I don't want no advice from your exes. If they
you.
Was all that, then they'll still be here.
I got you.
Know, that's how I feel. And it's not, I don't think it's an immaturity level. It depends on the person. It might be immature to some people. Like, some people think it's like I thought it was, some people think that it's mature that I can say, hey, babe, I'm finna go to the strip club. I'll holler at you tomorrow. I don't think that's immature, but I think that's, that in my position or with my wife, that would be immature for me to do that. So it depends on the relationship.
In your marriage.
You're on the marriage. It depends on the marriage. So in my
marriage. Because you're not going to strip club at all.
Right, right.
So there's no reason to have that question. I mean, I have that conversation. Because you ain't going anyway.
If I say, hey, babe, I'm going somewhere with, you know, T-Hawk and Ike. Hey, where y'all going? Oh, we just going to the strip club, I think, right, Ike? That ain't going to blow over well, man.
Mm-hmm.
Not the maturity, you know, the maturity of our relationship is not going to go well. But not to say it's immature, it's just not going to go well for ours. So what won't go well with us also is, you know, I don't want you to bring up nothing about your ex-boyfriend. I don't want to hear that, or your ex-husband, whatever. I just didn't want to hear it. Let's figure this out together, me and you. You know, but and if you want to bring invite some other things in there, then just don't tell me where it came from. Even though I might ask, like, well, how do you know that this works? You know, because that's what I want to know. I don't, not to try to dig, but if you say, yeah, you don't want to know more. Well, my, a lie about it. Hey, yeah, my aunt did this, and my grandma did that. You know, hey, we did it work with us, so it worked with them. Okay, cool. I swallowed that one.
Got it.
Don't tell me about no other man. Oh, that I don't want to hear it. I ain't going to tell you about no other woman. Don't tell me about no other man.
I agree. Anybody else?
I agree.
Yeah, good words.
Good words. Anybody want to do open mic?
Yeah, let's flip it over for a little bit.